Fuck yeah.
Welcome, welcome to 561 Music. My name's Ben.
And I'm Francisco. No. I'm
all
Hector.
Right.
I'm Hector.
No, I could do that. Francisco Diaz.
Yeah. No, no, no. James. What was James?
You sound like Jaime. A conquistador.
James was Jaime Diaz when he did the street painting with us.
Oh, that's right. So, what have we been up to? We're getting into that busy season now, aren't we?
I don't think we're getting into it. I think we are in the busy season.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's pretty ridiculous.
That's fair. Right now. And not just because we're playing a lot, like just everything is crazy right now.
It is.
The roads are bananas and there's just people everywhere. But, you know, and there's good and bad things about that. The good thing being we have tons of work.
Yes.
Yeah. And, so we played at O'Shea's twice in a row, which was, it was fun actually. I had a good time.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people there this weekend.
Yeah.
It was pretty packed this weekend.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And then, we played the Irish Fest.
That was fun.
Yeah. That was like a sea of green, wasn't it?
That was my dry run for the Sunfest show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I saw you busting some moves.
Trying to work out my pedals and stuff and getting everything dialed in so that I don't get frustrated at something.
No, totally. And I think that was wise. And I saw James doing the same thing, you know, striking some poses. I need to get a longer cord because I have this specialized cord for my weird pedal board. Mm-hmm. And it's really not that long.
So, but are you ever not playing the drum, though?
I mean, the same amount as James.
I got you.
Because, you know, so I could do some stuff. I've been thinking about trying to do a thing where it's like wireless. You know?
Yeah.
That would be the ideal situation.
Well, I was going to try some new things and stuff on that stage, figuring it was a nice big stage. And the little rubber cap at the bottom of the peg broke through and I didn't have a spare. So every time I picked up my bass and set it back down, the metal would hit the concrete and it would just go right through the speakers. It was terrible.
Terrible. But then you got to use my little portal thing that I bought you for Christmas.
I did on Saturday night. I did.
And what's the verdict?
I love it.
Yeah. Love that's
it.
So cool.
Yeah.
So I bought Hector. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see me if you can't. Just like a circular thing like that. And it's wood, and it kind of goes up into a little bit of a semicircle, and it has a hole in it, and sort of looks a bit like an ashtray. But it's for the end of
it's a flying saucer. Yeah, it's got a rubber pad on the bottom, and the idea is I put the pin in there, and it sits on the stage, and it doesn't slide around. As opposed to when the rubber on the pin is gone, I could set it on a stage and be playing, and my bass is just running away always. So it actually saved my life. I don't imagine it's one of those things that I use every time because it does restrict me from being able to move. You know, the peg has to stay there. But it was I was definitely thrilled that I had it on Saturday because saved my life from having it slide around everywhere. I wish I would have thought of it before we played the Irish Fest.
Oh, yeah.
I could have just set it up there and I wouldn't have that issue.
So I've been taking it really easy this week because I lost my voice over the weekend, which is pretty brutal. So I've been trying to take care of it and drinking lots of water and, resting up. And I had just like always, I've had like a million band practices and stuff going on, but I just didn't sing. You know?
Yeah, because we've got Meg O'Malley's tomorrow night and we've got Irish Brigade Friday night and you've got the duo at a Square Grouper Saturday.
Yeah.
And then we've got Patty Mac Saturday night and then we've got Patty Mac all day Sunday. So I was calculating that out today. I was talking to James about it. You guys have a little bit more than I do because you have the Square Grouper, but I think you guys have something like between tomorrow and Sunday, you have like 28 hours of music you're being playing.
Yeah.
It's insane, man.
You know what?
And I'm like at like 27, I think, or no, 20, you're 20, I'm 25. Yeah.
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 That's
it's
cool,
insane.
Though. I mean, you know, like the
living the life, man, living the life.
Luckily, I enjoy it. So we're okay. So we have Cher and Joey from Hoochie Digs with us today. How's it going, guys?
Doing good. We're glad to be here tonight. Good.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So could you just tell us a little bit about your early musical life, where you guys are from and how you got into music? And let's start with you, Cher.
Okay, so that's going to be easy because there's not a whole lot.
Gotcha.
So I went to Catholic school and pretty much since first grade, I was in the Catholic school choir.
Yeah.
So we, you know, played at church, sang on Sunday mornings. And
we get a lot of people who say that. And it was a similar thing with me. I did a lot of singing in the church choir too.
Yeah. So then I went to public school, but I still stayed every Sunday going and singing in the choir, up through, even as an adult, I would sing in the Catholic church choir. So That was about it.
What kind of stuff were you singing? Was it like old stuff, like Palestrina type stuff?
Oh, dependent on which church. So right. I went to different churches. I would move for hating the church for one reason. I would move to another church. God forgive me. And and so some of them, like the first one, it was called Our Lady of Prompt Succor. So that's where I went kindergarten through eighth grade.
Gotcha.
And that was... Our choir director was Ms. Volkamp. She also owned the Baskin and Robbins.
Ms. Volkamp.
Yes, Ms. Wow. Volkamp. And that's she would bring us ice cream every other time we had practice after school.
Was she nice?
She was very kind. She had very pink lipstick.
She sounds
lipstick.
The opposite of nice.
She was kind. She was very kind.
Oh, fantastic.
She had pink lipstick, really bright pink, and almost looked like a wig, kind of
oh,
like a
wow.
fro.
Like a beehive type
yes,
situation.
Yes, exactly.
That's so cool.
So she was great, but that was just, it was just children's, we had little... leaflets of music and was, you know, children's choir music. But in high school, I sang kind of in a folk group that had, like, I played the tambourine and there were a lot of guitars and it was awesome. That was at Sacred Heart Church.
Oh, sick.
So that was in high school. And then...
So was that involved with the church and services or was it just that you met the people there?
Yes, it was church services. So
oh,
and
cool.
my mom
okay.
actually sang along with me. So
oh, that's
it was,
cool.
It was kind of fun.
And where is this all going on? Where are you from?
This was Alexandria is central Louisiana, and Pineville is where Sacred Heart was, but they're called the Twin Cities.
Okay.
So we most recently moved from Pineville,
gotcha.
Louisiana. So yeah, depending on the mass, it was different. All different types cool. of music. Some serious and like the nuns would sing, and then some kind of folky and cool.
That's cool. Have you ever had like less like private musical lessons?
No, I haven't. Once I wanted to take piano at Our Lady of Prompt Succor from Sister Pat.
Is it called Our Lady of Prompt Succor?
Yes, quick help.
What does that mean?
Our Lady of Prompt Succor, pray for us. Hasten to our help.
Okay,
It's
gotcha.
quick help. It's the...
Oh, so I
yeah,
got you.
Prompt
S-U-C-C-O-U-R.
Yes.
That's
it.
I got you now.
Yeah.
I was so confused.
the nuns that were in the convent at... St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So they all prayed that the church wouldn't burn whenever there was the fire in New Orleans.
Right, right.
So that's who we prayed to for quick help was that Our Lady of Prompt Succor is the one that saved the cathedral.
I just had a conversation. I have a friend of mine from Columbia that's been with me for a few weeks here. We're going to be working on a mural here soon. And we were just talking about basically like patron saints and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I went to Catholic school, grew up in that whole, you know, that whole genre and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And he, his mom is like pretty religious. And so we were having a conversation literally today in the car. We were having a conversation where like everything he says to his mom, she's like, I'll pray for you for that. Or I'll pray. So I'm in the process of flipping a house. I'm working on a house. I'm flipping it.
Yeah.
He's been helping me work on it. And he said something to her and she's like, oh, we'll pray to the patron saint of whatever it was, you know,
yes.
finance or whatever.
Building
and
houses.
Really, yeah, whatever it was.
Saint Joseph.
Yeah. And then was like, you know, well, I'll do a little prayer for him. I'll light a little candle. And I'm like, it just reminded me of my grandmother. My grandmother was always like that. There was always a saint for everything.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a saint for everything.
Yes, there is a saint,
pretty,
very conveniently.
Pretty polytheistic or monotheistic religion.
Yes.
Sure. So Joey, how did you find yourself getting into music?
As a small kid, Dad was in the Air Force.
Right.
So we managed to end up in Okinawa, Japan.
Right.
It's a little island. I was never good at making friends.
Right,
so
okay.
got an acoustic guitar. I still have it.
Yeah.
It's a Yamaha from 84, 83 or 84.
That's awesome.
I bet it. I mean, is it a... The Yamaha makes some really nice guitars.
It was cool. It's the neck broke off at some point later on in life, rock and rolling and doing that stuff. And the equipment fell on it, broke it, put it back on. It's rocking. But yeah, started acoustic guitar. That was in the mid-80s. And we moved back to Louisiana. And again... In the room, with the acoustic
sure.
guitar, no friends, and
well,
then
it was very important to me, like that with the guitar. It was it definitely was my closest ally in my, you know, in my teenage years. I was kind of shy and you know not mm-hmm. super outgoing too, and definitely it's nice to have it there, you know, like
right.
yeah.
And then it was live without a net. 5150 Van Halen came out. Sammy
sure.
Hagar saw it. Said, Dad. Can I get electric guitar?
Yeah.
So I did that for a while.
Nice. Did you have lessons?
For a short time, the acoustic guitar did have lessons, but after that, I didn't make friends, but some friends made me and took me into their band. So gotcha. Through high school, same. From there on, it's the same thing. Yeah, we're rock and roll. We're playing in a band.
Yeah,
so,
cool. What kind of music did your parents listen to?
I was force-fed Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, King Crimson.
Okay.
Mom was a country person, so she mixed a little bit of the country, but Dad had the control of the stereo, so it was metal.
Yeah. No, that's cool though. I mean, you know, at least they listen to music and they like, you know, they like
it. All the time.
And also, like, it sounds like they were reasonably, like, pretty supportive too of you wanting to do it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when did you start first sort of playing out? Like, it sounds like you remind me of me in the sense that it was like always going to be the thing a little bit.
It was right before finishing high school, we had the band, right?
So yeah.
And we were playing in bars before we were allowed to drink in bars.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But that was the thing. We were gonna be rock stars.
Yeah,
so we played all around the South. And it was good for a while, but
what was the band called?
Gypsy Blue.
It was Gypsy Blue.
Yeah,
okay.
Man.
I didn't want to put
we
my
were cool.
In.
We started doing this 1990, 1991, early 1990s. We kind of some of the buddies were hair metal guys. And me and other guys were more metal, more Iron Maiden and Metallica were coming up through that.
Gosh,
so we had this.
More like thrash.
Yeah, it was interesting and it was cool, but it was at the time of grunge, right?
Yeah.
So we had no chance. We were not grunge. The rest of the world was grunge. We had, but it was
well,
still
fun. Everything went punk, didn't it? It just it switched like to this sort of, the flashiness was no longer considered cool.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Which I get. I mean, I'm a big fan of metal, and I listen to it. I listen to it a lot, and I play it and stuff, and I enjoy it because I'm a teacher, and it's a lot more interesting to teach someone something like that than Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
But I get it in terms of the aesthetic because there's something elitist about it, and then grunge and punk is more sort of
rebellious,
accepting, and But yeah, man. So that's cool, though. Have you got a record? Did you record?
We did. The band that I joined had just put out a cassette tape in 90. And then we made a CD, and we were Retrospect Records was a thing that took bands like that in the early 2000s.
Yeah,
and they found it. So they found us, took our CD from 94.
Cool.
And started printing and selling copies before we knew they were doing it. But it put us in, we played, they had a stage at Rocklahoma, one of the big festivals. So we played in 2008. It got us, it got us there. So
yeah,
it was
sick.
Pretty cool. So
that's awesome.
It was like like real bands and we're like, on the side stage over here. It's pretty cool.
Is it online these days?
It was for a while on YouTube. There was lots of footage, but I haven't seen any in a while.
I'm going to have to dig around after this, see if I can come up with anything. So, your name is very interesting. Hoochie Diggs, what does that mean?
All right, so Joe and I were trying to figure out what we were going to call ourselves. So it kinda,
I hate to jump in. How long have you and Joe known
each other? I know, that's the thing. Okay. That's the thing. So I actually met Joe whenever he was in Gypsy Blue. So that was early 90s, and I was in college, and I started bartending, which was not very characteristic of me having gone to Catholic school. So it was like totally not what I would do. But I saw an ad in the paper for a bartender for a classic rock bar that was opening up called The Bayou.
Yeah.
So, I applied, and next thing I knew, I was getting my liquor license and going over there with some baggy clothes on.
Yeah.
And then I think they said, okay, we're gonna put y'all in tank tops. And little by little, I was in my Daisy Dukes and serving up mugs of beer to everybody. But Joe.
Well, that's classic, Catholic schoolgirl.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Gone bad.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So Joe came in with Gypsy Blue. Like they were one of the first bands that played. And I remember them having a note because some of the guys were underage. They were playing in the band. So I went on to follow them. So I would like travel with them and everything.
Nice.
And so kind of had a crush on a guy or two in the band. Joe had a girlfriend. So he ended up marrying that gal.
Right.
And so I went on, finished college, started teaching. Got married. He He got married. We each had a slew of kids. I had four, he had three. And nice. 20 years later, so I hear that the band kind of got back together, or a couple of them at least. And so I was newly divorced. He was too. And it just was like that. And so,
it's how lovely that you've known each other for so long. That's
it's
brilliant.
True. We have.
You know, one of the things that I always say about me and my wife is that probably the biggest thing that that we have is that we're just like best mates.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
And it just goes so far, because when all else fails, we still enjoy just hanging around with each other. You know what I mean?
That's it.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you guys found each other. That's wonderful.
Joe was so quiet back in the day in Gypsy Blue. He never said a word. So I never knew him at all. Like, I didn't know him. So I did know him, like, from way back then, but didn't know much about him.
Sure, yeah.
But went to see him that night, and that was it. Like, we just met up, and it just, like, we just kind of got together right away.
Fantastic.
So, like,
and how did the music come out of this situation?
I got kind of burnt out playing, because we were gigging. And by that time, this was straight just covers, a couple of different bands doing the same stuff. And it was like,
yeah.
And so, yeah, I settled down. And then she was wanting me to do stuff by myself. I can't sing. I don't sing. So we just,
right.
It's like, what you got? Can you sing anything? Like, can
you
do something?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So we threw a few covers in. We first started playing, wrote some songs, and you know, it was all right. So we just, you know, kept it going.
That's really cool. Yeah. When you record your music, do you do it yourself, or do you go to a studio to record?
The first two CDs were recorded in the studio. The studio we had that still functions in Alexandria, Louisiana.
Where
is still
I used
there.
To go party, where they used to practice.
We got the band there. In 91. Yeah. We got the building.
Cool.
It was a rehearsal place, and it's turned into a pretty nice studio over the years.
Awesome.
We've lived there, but the most recent recording we've done here in the condo, mm-hmm. all us.
Yeah, I mean, so, I think these days it's very difficult to not these days. You know, all of the equipment's there. If you have the patience, you can get it done at home these days. You know,
right.
For sure. Like, what kind of stuff do you use? Are you on Logic, or are you doing?
No, Pro Tools. I'm paying for my subscription, Pro Tools, and then I have a Universal Audio.
Sure.
I get the four banger. What's the
like a Apollo or something like that?
Yeah, the Apollo. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Four. It's a pretty good interface.
Yeah, and, totally.
That I have an SE Electronics T2 mic. I know it's kind of weird. It's for vocals. That's what I use it for.
Gotcha.
And then, but for the guitars, SM81.
Yeah, man. Wicked. Pretty, I love hearing about people's setups, because I spend all of my time doing that stuff. Yeah. And my spare bedroom, which I rather kind of ostentatiously call the studio in the house, is just absolutely heaving with gear. At some point, I'm going to move it all out of there. I've been plotting putting another like building up in the backyard. It's got to happen eventually. It's got to happen eventually. I'm busting out of that room. I could potentially take up another room in the house, but at that point, it's like my poor wife, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah, it's basically our decor is guitars. That's the theme in the house. And the,
Yeah, I have a half stack sitting behind the sofa. Yeah, just right there.
Well,
in the middle of the house.
It's okay when it's like the two of you.
Right.
But
right.
in Ben and mine's case, like, we're the musicians and the wives are not. So
yeah, it's a little unfair in that situation. Right. Christy doesn't mind it. She's cool with it. But that's awesome, though, that you guys are, you know, you're both into it. So it doesn't even really come up as a problem like at all.
Right.
I love he plays around the house constantly. The guitar is always on him and he's always playing. So it's just totally normal. Don't bother with it, and it looks pretty nice actually. And the his collection's growing.
It's not so bad.
His latest one, he got a few months ago.
Mm. When did you record your first record?
2015, 2017, and then just a few months ago, the latest one.
Gotcha. Yeah. Did you find that the forced kind of break of like a year was helpful for writing? Like, how did you guys spend your
Well, that's
pandemic?
The hideous. That's the trouble.
Pandemic,
like,
did not do us right.
It did for me, just because I still have my phone, my Google Photos stuff. I got 10, 15 second, 30 second clips. I can't go through that stuff. I mean, I got tons and tons of stuff. I have plenty of material.
We might have put together two songs during that whole time.
Didn't combine them two, but I had little bits of this and little bits of that.
So. It was a difficult time. There's a lot of anxiety. It's difficult to be, just relax and be creative. I wrote a couple of tunes at that time as well. Mm-hmm. Because I was just thinking about it. It's like 15, 17, and, you know, then it would have been, if it'd been on course, but then
sense. Right.
So, have you got any plans for recording in the future? Is there more songs on the horizon?
There's already more songs. I was really hoping to just kick her out of my band and do some, like, obnoxious acoustic guitar instrumental stuff, and I don't know. That's tough. So we'll see. But there will be more.
I didn't even know that he was stopping that project.
Well, it's tough. I got,
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Tell me when I can add the lyrics.
Yeah, I know you're ready. He's always ready. So we'll see. There will be more stuff one way or the other. So,
wicked. Yeah. What do you guys find that you write about would you say that there's a theme that comes up more than others? Mm-hmm.
I think at the beginning, it was definitely all love songs. Okay. So the first, My Baby Gone, is all love songs. Like, it was, we would always joke about that.
I think that's the case for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Their first albums, like all these love songs.
Yeah. She takes care of all the lyrics. I don't get involved. She writes, so it's all that.
Yeah,
so.
And I just get, when he plays, I just kind of get the feel of the music when he plays the song, and I pretty much know instantly what the song's going to be about.
Yeah.
So it's always that way. And I tried actually... One of the first songs we wrote, I think it was the third one. It's called One, that's on the first album, I think. I actually dreamed some lyrics and I wrote them down. And the next morning, it was like, again, we hadn't written much and we didn't know what we were doing. I said, Joe, can you please put some music to this? I think I got a good one. And he looked at it and he was like, no. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. So his bandmate from Gypsy Blue, I went to him and said, look, can you do this? And I'm going to give it to him for Christmas.
Oh,
so that's
nice.
How that went. So Alan Rivers was the writer of the music for that one.
Gotcha.
But since then, it's just been, he plays and then.
Have you ever tried to play a guitar yourself?
Actually, I took guitar lessons when I was at Our Lady of Prompt Sucker.
Okay, yeah.
From old dude, Pratt, David Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
But my nails were too long, and he was like, cut your nails. I maybe made it through 6 months, and
She stuck some violin on, which is the second record? She squeaked out some notes on there.
Yeah, my daughter Zoe was learning the fiddle, and she did pretty well, but she was learning from an old Cajun guy that played by ear.
Sure.
And so she played for maybe 2 or 3 years, and I always would try to show her off and on. And then finally she's like, I'm done with this, Mom. And so I was like, no, I can't see it go. I got to try to play myself. So I took for probably 4 or 5 years.
Oh, nice.
But that's not any time, as you know.
Sure. Well, the violin's a difficult instrument to play. The fiddle, I mean, I've got one at home, and I scratch away on it sometimes, but I can't claim to be any good at it. The Cajun influence on your music and writing, how would you say that, do you guys have French ancestry? Like, how's that work?
Yes. Yeah. So I have three grandparents that all spoke French. And then Joe's got a papa that spoke French as well. So we grew up, you know, hearing French all the time. And that's what inspired me to be a French teacher. And then, you know, as we were writing, when we started, the first album, we came up with La Louisiane, which is a love song for Louisiana.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the language, is endearing to me. And I just thought we need to have more French music. So we did in the most recent album, we have Adia.
That's lovely.
Another one with French lyrics. So
I love French too. I think it's a beautiful language.
Yes. I'm
English, so it's pretty close, you know.
But
that's where I always used to go on vacation when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Do you find when you're writing, with French lyrics versus English lyrics, like, do you find it different or more difficult or like harder to find the right words or anything, or it just kind of comes to you the way the English ones do?
It's not really hard. It's just about the same, because you're just looking for a sort of rhyming word that'll sound right. And you know, if you have enough vocabulary, then you can.
Sure.
You can put it
I'm just curious because I'm Cuban, and so I speak fluent Spanish, and I you know, I listen to a lot of Spanish music, and and sometimes, you know, like you're saying, like they reach for the word that rhymes. I mean, sometimes I'm listening to it, and I speak Spanish, and I understand Spanish, and I'm listening to the Spanish words, but like they say something in Spanish, and it's like, you know, for the sake of rhyming, and for some reason in my head, I start thinking about it in English, and I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would they say that? You know, I find myself fighting the two languages sometimes when I'm listening to music.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's quite interesting when Hector's speaking Spanish, it's like he doesn't understand people talking English around him. You can say anything you want about you. James and I, we noticed it one time when you're chatting away with someone in Spanish. We just started talking trash about you, see if you'd notice. You were just in Spanish mode.
Oh, yeah. I zone out.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was really funny.
Now I have to like listen for it. What'd you say?
We weren't saying anything that bad. We just wanted to see if it would work, and it did.
We're saying anything bad. Kick this guy out of the band. He's terrible.
So, outside of love songs, have you gone and taken any sort of like forays into different subject matter?
Well, it just kind of happened that the Freedom album formed by the different songs that we wrote. There were more about sadness and more about the heaviness of the world and how rough and tough it is to try to survive in the world. So Freedom is just about, you know, when we looked at what we had, like one of the songs is called Suffering, and it's pretty sad, it's pretty heavy.
Right.
And when we looked at everything and combined it, you know, with that, with balanced with the ones that like Freedom, the song that's on the album Freedom, it looked like it was the theme of freedom from suffering, and you know, by any means, like, you know, even in death, you know, we're freed from from the suffering of the world, whether it be through prayer, meditation, quiet, and just, you know, being apart from
the suffering.
Exactly. So
I tell you what, it's like suffering is life in a way, you know.
Yeah,
it's absolutely what it's about. And it is also intrinsically linked with love, and you know, it's all that stuff is all mixed together.
Yes,
I write a lot about suffering myself.
Yes, and then Whitewater kind of was born the same way. I mean, it was, you know, freedom is, it was freeing from the suffering, but you know, Whitewater is like in being in the midst of it all, and you know, what do we do? And that's kind of how this one came, and it was, you know, all perfect timing because the songs all came from what's going on, you know, pretty much what's going on in the world now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've got to pay some really much more close attention to the lyrics, and I'm going to definitely do that after we get out of here. I think now, though, would be a wonderful time to hear you play a couple of tunes. Does that work for you?
Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. This one's Unfolded.
Digging back in time, way back of my mind, holding hands with what thought life had to hold. Every venture gives, then a new one lives. Can't stay in place, all we know is change. Life gives me something I've never seen. Give me what I have never dreamed. Faded pages turn, memories unfold. How was I to know that you would grab my soul? Life is bought and sold. Days put on the show. How was I to know that you'd make my music flow? Whoa, 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 whoa. Sun opens my eyes, am I really here? Just the other day, paved another way. 7 kids ago, had just one to know. Made my way around, this day yet unfound. Life gives me what I have never seen. Give me what I have never dreamed. Faded pages turn, memories unfold. How was I to know that you would grab my soul? Life is bought and sold. Days put on the show. How was I to know that you'd make my music flow? Oh, 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 oh.
Let's fly.
Baby, don't you think you ought to take another road and leave the world behind? Living loaded heavy with the weight of all you care makes me wanna cry. Funny when you make some time to set aside the word, mind and slow the grind. Something comes along and steals a piece of once belonged, and now you're chasing time. Let the rhythm make you rock and lay your hand in mine. Forget about tomorrow now, shake away the sorrow, cause we're gonna fly. Let me take you up and up and over all the border to a place inside. Gonna lose your mind and it's a really awesome time, we're never gonna die. You don't have to try to walk through fire and ice land. All they want you to do, you. Take some time and live someone like it's day. Fly. through fire and ice and all they want you to do.
Music and 561 Music Festival is sponsored by Steinger Green & Finer. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, and then I'm going to tell you how they're helping. So Steinger Green & Finer is the personal injury law firm you can trust to provide the elite representation you deserve. As your trusted personal injury attorneys, you can count on them to fight for your rights from start to finish. They have affordable services. Professional legal aid shouldn't cost a fortune. That's why, with their injury lawyers, you don't pay a penny unless they win your case. Their team of personal injury attorneys has the resources and experience needed to litigate with big insurance companies and deliver the results you want, achieving maximum financial compensation to cover the cost of your accident-related injuries and damages, from medical bills and prescription medication to car repairs and lost wages. Whatever type of personal injury case you bring them, their injury lawyer team can handle it. If you can't visit one of their injury lawyer locations, don't sweat it. Their 100% virtual communication options enable them to handle your case without requiring an in-person visit. Getting the justice you deserve has never been easier. To be real, we're incredibly thankful for them because without them, we wouldn't be able to put the festival on. They have sponsored the festival, and it means that we can pay the bands. It means we can afford to advertise the festival so people know it's happening. And really, it just means we can do it. So the fact that they've reached out to us and they're helping out in the community, it means a huge amount to us. And we just want to extend our thanks to them. And it doesn't hurt that they're a great business as well. They are very easy to find online. Just go to www.injurylawyers.com. It's as simple as that, injurylawyers.com. So you'll be able to find them very easily. You won't be disappointed with their service. They're fantastic. Thank you so much, Steinger Green & Finer. You really have made a difference for us, and you make a difference for a lot of people every day. Backsaver LLC Therapy is located in West Palm Beach, Florida, providing chiropractic care, massage therapy, and physical therapy. They are 561 Music sponsors, and they're helping us put this festival on. We couldn't be more grateful for them. They've done it before, and it's just a huge help. So if you have anything going on with your back in general, you need some chiropractic done. I don't know if that's how you say it. Chiropractic. If you need a chiropractor, you could do a lot worse than Backsaver. They're absolutely a fantastic company. I know Hector's had some work done by them, and they do a fantastic job. If you've been hurt in a slip and fall accident, Backsaver LLC will help you with your injuries. The worst thing about slip and fall accidents is you never see them coming. The slip and fall itself can be frightening, and the injuries sustained can be detrimental. If you twist and fall in a bad or awkward position, your body will suffer the consequences. Injuries sustained in a slip and fall accident can be quite costly when it comes to paying medical professionals for treatments and pain relief. Backsaver LLC in West Palm Beach works to help patients recover quickly, physically, and also financially. It's one of those things that when you need it, you really need it. And if you don't think you need it, maybe you do. They're incredibly kind to sponsor the festival. Like I said before, we need all the help we can get putting this thing on. So thank you so much for sponsoring it and helping us with this podcast. We're just trying to bring local music to local people and build up the scene around here. And Backsaver is helping us do it. So thank you so much, guys. Give them a call today at 561-684-8774. That's 561-684-8774. It's Root. Now, Oasis Root Carver Bar is in Seagrape Square on Indian Town Road, and it is a carver bar. If you don't know anything about carver, it's a Polynesian root that you grind up and you mix with water, and it has been in Polynesia for potentially thousands of years. It's an old thing that they used for kind of ceremonial and also sort of leisure purposes. It's meant to be something where, you know, that brings people together. You will take a shell of carver and chink them together and say bula and have it together like that. It's meant to be something to bring people together. It's has a kind of an effect, which is, I guess, a kind of a slightly warming effect. It just kind of makes you feel nice. It's not particularly intoxicating. It's not like drinking alcohol. So the atmosphere in a cover bar is sort of like a cross between a regular bar and a coffee house. It's pretty chill in there. You get all sorts of different types of cava bars. Some of them are more like a club, you know, there's sort of like black light and EDM playing. And some of them are more like a cafe. This is one of the cafe type of ones. It's super chill in there. If you're looking for somewhere to, I don't know, maybe go and do some work on your laptop or go and have a chat with friends, it's perfect for that kind of thing. There's a foosball table in there if that's your jam, or baby foot as they call it in France. And yeah, Jim, the owner, is a really cool guy, and he has very kindly sponsored our podcast. So thank you very, very much for that, Jim. They also do a poker night in there, all sorts of things going on at Oasis Root Carver Bar. 561 Music is sponsored by Live Music Community. It's where we film the podcast that you're listening to right now, and it's also where I work. Gavin, Hector's son, was a student here for a long time, and in many ways he's the musician he is today because of the teachers at Live Music Community. We taught him not only about his instrument, but also about being in a band, and his band, Unemployed Youth, accomplished a lot of goals, mostly band etiquette, how to work together, and all of the nitty-gritty that goes into being in a band on a day-to-day basis. The student signs up for lessons, learns their instrument, joins a real band, and decides the direction it goes in. And we can take people from very young age, you know, 6 or 7 years old, all the way up to 80. You know, there's no age limit here. We've run an adult program for people who want to be in a band as adults. But really, the main focus is on the kids and getting them playing together and in bands. We are also a studio, a live stream venue. We can record audio or video. The Killbillies live album, Warts and All, was recorded here. It was recorded during a live stream that we did during COVID. Justin had a great idea to record live streams during COVID. A ton of bands came in and it was a real success. Outside of that, we can record albums, we can help you with your EPK, and we have full audio-visual capabilities here. LMC is in Palm Beach Gardens on the northwest corner of Military Trail and North Lake Boulevard. And if you go to livemusiccommunity.com, you have all the information you'll need right there.
Okay, so we were just listening to an ad for Live Music Community, which is where we're sitting right now. And I wondered, do you guys have any advice for upcoming musicians by any chance?
Man, yeah. Get really good at audio and video and marketing and YouTube. No, just get being a band. I don't know. Just try. Go for it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Learn your instrument, whatever it is, to the best of your ability. Be obsessive about it, and then get out there.
Absolutely.
I think it's important to be confident in the music that you write. And I think that you shouldn't be afraid to share your original work.
I agree with that. So there's someone who I wish that you could tell that to,
I'm sitting right here, Ben.
No, I relate to that. And some people, one of the things that this person who I know says is that they don't want to have to go through that whole period of seeing as they're kind of like, snobby's not the right word. They have very discerning taste in music.
Yeah.
And they're just worried that they have to fight their way through writing bad songs until they get to good ones. But I say, like, the fact that they have discerning taste in music in the first place means they probably won't write a bunch of bad songs first, you know?
Yeah.
It's you know, I mean, sure, there is a certain amount of practice involved, but I suppose it's all to do with whether you find that fun or not. I
don't know. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have to enjoy it. You have to enjoy it, period.
Yeah.
So whether it's your music or someone else's, if you enjoy it, that's the start. But yeah,
absolutely. What would you say that you enjoy most about music?
Just that me, a guitar, just making noise, whatever that finding a sound, a chord, whatever.
Yeah.
That's the calming thing to me.
Yeah.
So
practice is a great meditation. It's a way to separate. I stopped drinking a while back and then I really managed to kind of re-engage with practicing and, you know, as a time to myself, clear the head, you know, I find it a very peaceful thing to do. Enjoy it a lot. Do you guys practice? I always used to ask this question. I haven't been asking it very much. Do you practice like individually?
Oh, I practice individually all the time. I'll focus too. I'll just get stuff cleaned up, and I'll like work on that. And even when I don't have a guitar, I'll maybe try to mess with some theory. I want to learn something, so I practice you know, myself a lot.
You run through scales and things like that?
Yeah, scales, like exercises, do exercises and stuff, but also just try to get better at physically playing the guitar.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's monotonous and boring and just, you know, it doesn't sound good, but
I've been trying to get some diminished licks that I can use in bluegrass, like just shoehorn some diminished stuff in there. That's what I've been up to recently. Because you end up with this kind of vernacular and you get so tired of it, you know, and you need to expand it.
That's kind of, matter of fact, one of the songs on our new record, the River Rouge song, was kind of that way. I'm watching YouTube videos. I'm trying to learn. I'm not a good bluegrass player. I like the stuff. I like it. I listen to it some, but never played it much. Sure. So I've got some guy's video up and I'm trying to mess with it. She's like, that sounds great. It needs to be a song. I'm like, it's his song. But so and it's like kind of tweak on it a little bit and turn it into something that was sort of like a bluegrass song.
You got to follow a guy on YouTube named Banjo Ben.
Our
banjo player follows him and he does online lessons on YouTube. Oh, okay. Obviously banjo. But he also has a whole like guitar lesson thing that he has that I've been starting to go through and stuff. And I'm not a guitar player by any means, but I'm going through it because it's helping me with my bass playing.
You have been doing it.
I'm not far in it. I'm like probably less than five or six, but I haven't. But I have been kind of noodling with it here and there. But he has like you're saying, like all these like rudimentaries and all these like different, you know, scales and things like that. And if you like bluegrass and you want to learn a little bit more,
banjo, he's definitely not a bad guy to check out.
He's really cool.
Yeah. He does the camps. He's one of those guys, you know, and everything. Okay. Cool. So in Louisiana, is bluegrass like a thing?
A little bit. Not as much as in some places where they're like crazy about it. Mostly some old guys that get together.
Yeah,
In DeVille,
there's Jamboree in the Pines.
Yep. And they get some really good players come through there.
From where you're from in Louisiana, is Zydeco?
Oh, yes. Zydeco and Cajun music, two different things. Very big thing.
I went through a Zydeco phase. I mean, I'm still in it, really.
I was going to say, like, have you actually outgrown it yet?
I think it's so cool. And coming from someone who knows more about it than me, what's the difference between Zydeco and Cajun music?
Well, Zydeco has, I know Zydeco has the washboard.
Yeah.
It's about the beat.
Yeah.
The drum beat.
But like the dancing to it and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's about the drum. There's a distinctive drum, and I don't know the terminology because I'm not a drummer, but that goes with Zydeco. It's a certain beat with the Zydeco.
Yeah, totally.
And then country music, too, is huge in Louisiana.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where in Louisiana is that? Is it like in central Louisiana? Is it?
Yes, it's the
in the middle.
Yeah, the center.
It's not close to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we call it Sin Law. Central Louisiana.
Okay, gotcha. Do you think just being surrounded by Zydeco and Cajun music has informed your music?
Maybe a little, but it, more so just of what it means. It's like all ethnic music whatever it is. Like we went to Finland House here in Lantana.
Yeah.
And so there was a band, right? Yeah. The guys got an accordion. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, the guys. And people in dresses are spinning each other around, and they're yelling at you on the microphone, doing all kind of. It's Cajun
like
music. It's whatever. It's all the same. It's just cultural music. It's what it is. So it's that feeling that still people get together, play some music, and have a good time, and express whatever it is they're feeling. So
And that's what I love most about music. When you ask that, is connection with people. I love. We played this past weekend, and we stayed and talked for so long. They were kicking us out with the people that had been there, the audience, and they're so kind. And you know, that's my goal with music, is to connect and to, you know, help people to not feel alone, you know, with the words of the songs, help everybody know that we're kind of all in the same boat together. And
I think they're like songs about suffering and like that are relatable in the sense that you can be like, okay, it's not just me then. But just that reaching across the, you know, reaching over to people and being like, you know, we know it's a thing. It happens to everyone, because, you know, a problem shared, you know, it definitely takes some of the weight off.
Yeah. Are you guys doing any cover gigs and things like that? Or are you just doing like original stuff now?
Just original stuff. Nice.
Like, that's excellent. Yeah. How busy would you say you guys are? Do you get to play out much?
Not very busy, but that's, you know, part of the reason we're only going to play original music.
Original.
And also, we still have lives. We do, you know, yep. I mean, I work. And she likes
to... We like to travel a lot, too, yeah. But he retires in 4 years, and okay. I'm retired, but I still sub-teach, so... Yeah.
Gotcha.
We like to have a little bit of time to on the weekends to wander and yeah. do things. But,
yeah, but, nice. But it really is not easy to find a place that will allow you to only play your own songs. And yeah. Joe yeah. made the decision after the pandemic that we were going to throw out the covers that we were doing, you know, prior to that for 8 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, love it or leave it type of yeah. attitude. And so, you know, who does accept
well,
this?
It's whatever.
We're ever so grateful.
We have a thing that we do. It's kind of mellow.
Yeah.
And it has a place.
Yeah.
So we
yeah.
just want to find the places. We don't want to force our way in anywhere.
And we have
just,
loved like, every
there's
place
a, there's
that
a place
played.
For us somewhere.
Yeah.
And you know what?
We go to those places.
What that has brought me in mind of is this musician who I know. And we organized a gig all the way down in Pompano, but mm-hmm. I feel like there could be a lot more around here. And also my friend Dominic, who does the singer-songwriter
yes,
night
Dominic.
Up here.
Yep.
Yeah, there needs to be more stuff like that because the bar don't care whether you play covers or originals. They just care that people are coming in and they
right,
like the music.
Right. Drinking
so,
and spending money.
So you
right.
can put three or
that's
four.
Right.
If you can do it with, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the way you can do it is just switch out the one cover band for three or four original acts and, you know, that's, right. you know, ends up basically having the same effect.
Yeah.
I think that tried and true sort of cover bands maybe are a little bit less of a risk for certain people.
Okay,
that's why
yeah.
they go that route. But but I, you know, it's Hunter was on here recently and was like, you know, my friend Hunter Hutchings was on here and he was saying that, you know, and he's right. And I, you know, I think this too is that the scene is really what you make it. So it's about trying to, it's not just about trying to find places that will have you. It's about mm-hmm. organizing shows, you know,
yeah,
like
right.
doing it, getting it done. And 561 Music, we try and organize shows when we can. We've been too busy to do it lately. I mean, we've got the festival, but, you know, yeah. the pop-up ones, we haven't had time, but mm-hmm. but we're definitely going to get back into that. And yeah.
Well, Ricky does a lot of that stuff, and he's gonna be partnering with us here soon. So
yeah, exactly.
So we're
yeah.
actually going to start having 561 Music stuff.
Yeah, do you know
constantly.
Ricky Baloof?
Yes, we love Ricky and
oh,
also
Ricky
Dominique.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
They
yeah.
we played yeah. with them at the Songwriters Night at.
Oh Brooklyn. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought
okay.
that's how.
Okay.
Yes.
When I read the thing, I figured that's how.
Yeah. So yeah, Ricky's yeah, been yeah. organizing a lot of those types of events and over at AAYC in Delray
yes.
and things like that, like different types cool. of events. Cool.
Right.
And you know, we're working with him right now, working towards sometime in the very not too distant future. We have the festival coming up here at the end of the month, but then
right.
pretty much right after that, Ricky's getting together with us and we're going to basically shift his Long Live the Scene stuff
yes.
and turn that into 561 Music events. And so Ricky's
awesome.
Going to kind of be a part of us, a part of this
yeah.
and kind of organize those things for mm-hmm. us.
And in
so
turn, we will be a part of Ricky.
We appreciate you all
yeah.
so much.
Well, the whole point of the podcast, the podcast, you know, started a little over 3 years ago. And the whole point of it was to create opportunities for local musicians to help grow the scene. And
yeah.
so, you know, if we're not creating opportunities, then we're not doing what we said we were
yeah,
going to do.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
So,
thank
yeah,
you.
So it's definitely, you know, it's definitely in our forefront of our heads.
Yeah,
yeah.
No doubt about it. And looking forward to the festival. You think you'd be able to make it out?
Joe,
she will not be here.
I'm so. Going back to Louisiana for Easter, but Joe gotcha. Will be. So
okay,
so he'll
right,
be solo. He'll be solo. That's it.
right.
That's it. And he'll bring my friend probably.
Oh, Tiff.
Yeah.
Yeah, she might. I might let her come along.
Yep. So she'll go in my place.
So how do you guys go about, you jokingly brought it up, but it's definitely worth talking about mm-hmm. as a factor of being a musician. And I understand why you've been a little sarcastic about it, 100%. But how do you guys promote yourselves? Like, who's in charge of the social media and all that stuff?
Not me. I'm a horrible promoter of anything.
Yeah, I do my best with help from my I have twin girls that are 20 that go to UL in Lafayette. So they help me, especially with the TikTok part. But
yeah.
also, you know, and I have a son. Well, all our kids are between 18 and 27.
Oh,
so
nice.
They're all help. We have seven of them.
Yeah.
So they're all whispering in my ear and helping me with all that. And we just started doing the YouTube thing with making videos.
Shorts,
probably a year ago, we started with our first video of Idea, and that kind of kicked off. That's where we took the pictures with the, you know, with his big red guitar and all underneath the big tree.
So you guys have been doing TikTok. You've been
well, not 100%. Mostly just kind of announcing things, little videos and stuff.
I try to get her to be TikTok famous and do some dances, but she won't do it.
No. Yeah, that's probably the least worked with site that.
I feel like, I mean, I'm at an age where TikTok it might be the point at which, like, I'll go on it and I've done some stuff on it, but I'm not like,
right.
I'm not the same way about
old,
it that
old
it was
man,
Facebook
it's that
or Instagram,
the age is old.
You know?
Right. Like, it's just hilarious though. I won't allow myself to watch more than 10 things on
it because,
it's real funny.
My wife goes down the rabbit hole. Like
that's
every night
that's
she lays in
that.
Bed and she just scrolls for like an hour before she
if
goes
to sleep.
You
need to cheer up though. Turn put,
it's
put
hilarious.
That thing on and look
I just,
at
like,
it.
I just listen to it. I don't even watch it. I just listen to what she has going on and I'm just laughing because some of the stuff is so absurd.
And people are making boku money off of that.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I love it. Boku money. That's brilliant. These t-shirts are cool.
I know.
I like the I like the dark green tie-dye.
That's one of my girls is, well, I have two artist girls, and one of them is an ad design in Lafayette, so she did that up for us.
Oh, wicked.
And another, the one that's 27, teaches art at University of North Texas in Denton, and she did the cover of this one. So
that's very handy, isn't it?
Even though I'm an artist myself, but I put
it
on other people.
She pawns
it
off on the kids. Yeah,
it's like the kids are earning their keep. I'm impressed.
We don't have to pay them.
Oh, no, I did pay them, actually.
No, that's
not
pretty
much.
Cool.
But they were happy.
Fair wages, $5.
Yeah, but we got to get your kids doing stuff to kill Billy's.
No, we're good. We're good.
What's happening with the drum kit? Is Gavin, is we going to end up buying that one off Gavin? What's happening with that?
Yeah. I don't know if he'll have his custom set yet, but either way, we'll use his Mapex set.
Yeah.
And then we'll buy it off of him once he gets his permanent one.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So are there any future goals for the band?
Well, I don't know. It's hard now just because that record was a lot. It took a lot of time and we didn't.
Yeah.
So now just more gigs. We can play a little bit more now.
Yeah,
so.
But we just joined the Broward Folk Club a couple months ago and we were able to play the folk festival, folk and acoustic music festival.
I need to know more about Broward
Davie.
Folk Club. Sounds cool.
It's pretty awesome. And that opened some doors for us in South Florida that we had not yet looked at. We had been north only.
Sure.
And so we were able to play at several places since we just in the last 2 months that encourage original music down there.
Very interesting.
So, and the folk festival is fantastic and we hope to we're playing the Spring Frolic that's coming up in Brooksville. On April 6th.
In Brooksville, right?
We're going, okay, that's right. I forgot about that.
Hopefully
we used campgrounds there?
Yes.
Yeah, we used to do a festival up there.
We
used to
do a couple of them up there.
What was it called again?
We did Spring Break, and we did Riverhawk.
Yeah, that's it.
But
yeah.
I guess the people that were doing it, from what I understand, the guy that was running it doesn't own the campground, just was like leasing it for those events.
Right.
And then someone else came in and bought the campgrounds from the previous owner and then said they didn't want any more festivals there. And now they're doing festivals themselves. It's crazy. But I didn't realize. I didn't realize they were doing festivals there.
Well, we better hit him up, man. See if we can get on.
So the one you did, the folk festival one,
right.
That you did, was that like October or November or something like that?
That was in February,
in February.
And what happened was we kind of just dove in once we joined the club.
Mm-hmm.
I said right away, how can I get involved? I know it's too late because I mean it was 2 weeks before the festival.
Okay.
And I said, what can we do? Can we sell our merch there and all? And she said, you can have a booth and then we would like you to do a workshop. So I did a songwriting workshop, but then we got called the next week and they said, we have somebody that dropped out and we'd like y'all to play in their place. So we That's were able cool. to play that fast. Like, so that was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that was down in Davie?
Yes. Yeah.
There's another, I'll have to find it and forward it to you, but I just recently started going down the rabbit hole of finding festivals.
Yeah.
Not just local Florida ones, but just festivals in general, folk festivals and stuff like that. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. There's one, and there's one in, I want to say it's up near, like, central northern Florida, near the Suwannee area.
Yeah.
And actually, I think it's at Suwannee. But it's in August or something, and it's a folk festival. I think they're past the deadline for applying for it. But it's a whole, like, folk festival and stuff that I just stumbled across.
I know that they're up. What's that big festival that they do up there? There's like
Muddy Roots? No, that's up in Tennessee.
I think it's called Suwannee.
I think, they do the Suwannee Festival here.
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, there's like several of them. But yeah, I just started recently going down that rabbit hole. Of course, you know, I'm stumbling across all these festivals and I'm going, that one looks cool. Oh, the deadline was yesterday.
No, that one looks cool.
The deadline was yesterday.
I got my calendar
week.
Marked. So I know some of
I just started that. Yeah, I just started that.
June, I believe, is a lot of them are.
So what I'm hearing is we're going to see you at all the festivals. We're going to be all the same festivals.
Yeah, that's it.
I'd love to see you guys out in the.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Yes.
So have you ever toured? Have you ever done any like sort of like long way away type touring?
No, not as this in this.
You can't count the Mexico City that we played music on the porch day. We searched down a guitar and did a song.
You can count that.
We'll count it.
We haven't.
Gotcha.
Just when we were in Louisiana, just around that area, and then so far just around here. So
cool.
But we will branch out eventually.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of places to play around here. I think we're actually... It's not that there's a lot of places to play original music, but there is places to play music. And so, you know, when I grew up, if I still lived in the village I'm from in England, I would have gone mad.
The scene is shifting a little bit though, man. And you know, because of people like Dominic and Ricky and stuff like that, the scene is shifting a little bit. There's a lot more, and I don't know if it's that there is a lot more, I'm just more aware of it now, but there's definitely, it feels like in the last 5 years, you know, we have a lot more singer-songwriter nights at places. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more original nights. We have a lot more.
Jacob Tucker's doing them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just feel like there's a lot more opportunities for people, you know.
Do you know that guy, Jacob Tucker's? He's a cool guy. I'll get you in touch with him. He's a guy up in
Jordan
Jupiter.
Jordan Lorenzi's another one that puts some stuff together. Yeah, there's a lot of people.
Totally.
You guys sent a picture of gear.
Yeah,
I believe.
Let's take a look at that.
That's my weirdo stuff. The acoustic guitar player guy that has to have all the bells and whistles. No, that just keeps the a little bit of consistency.
Is it for acoustic or is it just a general guitar?
Yeah, mostly for electric stuff. If you want to rock, man, it's got all the amp modelers in there. It's pretty good. It's an older unit. But yeah,
gotcha.
It's like I said, acoustic guitar. It kind of helps with the.
I had the 9-6 one from this era.
Okay, yeah.
It
gives a little consistency to the acoustic guitars when you plug them in. We still do some things that are without our PA. So we do a singer-songwriter's thing or, you sneak into these little places where you got to be quick.
Yeah.
It helps.
So
it helps a little
bit. You can add the compression and all that stuff.
Yeah, have a little bit of help.
Totally. Like I was saying to you before we were recording, I do a pretty similar thing with my pedal board. I have a compressor on there and I have a preamp on there and all my little pedals that I use too. So by the time the signal's going out, it's all they got to do is turn it up.
Yeah, right.
That's what you hope.
Right. That's
sure. We were asking at the beginning, or towards the beginning, we were asking about how you guys came up with the name of the band, and I think we got sidetracked. We were talking about something else, and then we talked about how you guys met, and we never got back. We never circled back to that.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
I know because you told me earlier, but I want the world to hear it because it's a great story.
So that was when we got together. So yeah, we were starting to play music in the living room and all that, and I was like, Joe, you think we could play somewhere? And he's like, I don't know, how many songs we have? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, well, what are we going to call ourselves? And I said, I don't know, you think of some names, I'll think of some. And so we thought and like, he didn't like any of my names. And then I was like, well, you don't have any names to contribute, you know? So one night we were going to sleep and we had thought and thought about it. And all the ones I ran across to him, he said no. And I said, well, I said, y'all gonna play or whatever. I said, y'all gonna play tomorrow night or whatever. And I said, is Hoochie Dick gonna be over there? Oh, and he said, what'd you say? I said, Hoochie Dick, I can't remember that guy's name that you're friends with. Is he gonna be there whenever y'all play? And he said, I think that's the name.
Yeah,
and then he said, what is that? What's that all about? And I said, that's what my grandma would say. My grandma Louise, that spoke French in Louisiana.
That's awesome.
She couldn't think of somebody's name, and she would say, Hoochie Dick. Is Hoochie Dick going to be over there? So we thought, okay.
Well, that's what I'm going to say now as well. Adopt it. Don't know how it sounds coming out.
What you call it? It's Hoochie Dick.
Yeah. So hopefully you will remember that instead of forgetting it.
That's right. Yeah. No, it's a super good and catchy name. It really was. Yeah. I'm telling someone who I was teaching earlier about it, and they were like, whoa, that's a cool name. So.
But I have to say, when we got here, when we were trying to, you know, I'm here trying to hustle and find places for us, you know, and I had a place in Lantana for 4 years prior to us moving here. So I knew the places around, and I was like, you know, looking around and seeing what type of musicians play where and everything. And I had asked a lot of places, and I didn't know really, we don't do agents much. Like in Louisiana, sure. You don't have that. I mean, and especially in our small town.
There's a lot of them down here.
Yeah. So, you know, I was just on my own asking people, and they thought I was nuts because, you know, evidently they get someone to book their music. And also I was like, Joe, mm-hmm. I think the hoochie part is scaring people off. So I think we need to drop that. And
the digs.
Yeah. And so for a while, like my daughter made a little symbol sign for us that was the digs. And then of course she made the shirts and all, and we dropped hoochie out. And then we started getting people having us play and everything. And then they knew that we were also the Hoochie Digs because we had our albums and stuff. And they're like, well, what do you want us to put, the digs or the Hoochie Digs? And they were like, you need to put the Hoochie Digs because you need to just be you. And I mean,
yeah, and it is 10 times better of it.
Yeah, yeah. Right, and so that's it. I was like, never mind. So I took all the dig stuff down. I was like, where the Hoochie Digs?
Yeah, because were you just worried that like people thought it was like some kind of like, yeah. like a titty bar or something?
They always would think that. They were like, who's the Hoochie? You're the Hoochie. He's the dig. You know, yeah, it was every time, you know, especially in Louisiana, they're like,
it's funnier if you say he's the Hoochie.
That's right.
I know, right? So yeah, we'd always have to explain it, and we do whenever we play. We explain it right away. So
yeah, there's a lot of that with the agents and stuff down here. There's
yeah.
there's a lot of places.
Yeah,
especially
you get around them. Yeah. They've just
well, especially with the cover
infiltrated.
Scene. With the cover scene. Come I mean, on. I get it with the original stuff. You know, you get promoters mm-hmm. that put nights together and things like that. But
yeah.
with the original scene, like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that it's
a convenience, but I could take it or leave it.
The agent thing, it's a double-edged sword because mm-hmm. it's like $50 off every gig now, but you don't mm-hmm. have to book them. So, I mean, it's not that bad.
No.
We've worked with sort of three or four different ones, and I found that I'd say on balance, I prefer it because it takes a huge...
Yeah, I mean,
because I used to work a lot harder for that 50, you know, to get the gigs.
Yeah.
Now we just
there's some agents
just trying to. All I have to do is say yes or no. You know?
Yeah, there's some agents like Mike. Awesome. Like Mike, you know, you'll call him up or he'll call you up or whatever, and he represents a handful of places that we play at, and he'll mm-hmm. just go, okay, I'm about to do 2024 calendar. Here are the dates, and he gives us, you know, like three places or four places that we play at, and he gives us the dates for the whole year. And it's like,
yeah.
we may have to like tweak some stuff throughout the year as things change or whatever, but I'm like, how easy is that?
That's totally worth
$50 a gig.
Yeah.
It's confusing because some days I'm like bitter about it, and then other days, especially with people who I was already friends with. But then other days I get it. You know, mm-hmm. so I don't know. I'm on the fence about it.
Right.
What's next? When's the next gig?
When is the next gig?
Well, we're leaving for Thailand on Friday.
That's
so we'll
so
be
cool.
gone.
Wow,
we'll be gone awesome. for 10 days, and then when we come back, I'm going back to Louisiana for a short time for Easter, and then the 6th will be that spring frolic. And
sick. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wonderful.
I check our social media posts for when I'm supposed to play somewhere.
I relate to that very much.
I tried to explain Easter to, you know, speaking of like languages, and my Colombian friend that's here.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to explain Easter because he kept seeing the bunny stuff and everything and the rabbits and the, like
the
chocolates. They do, but it's the you know,
the Roman Catholic
it's the day Christ rises.
And
I'm trying to explain to him that a rabbit breaks into your house and leaves like, you know, like little shoots eggs out of his butt, I guess. And, you know, and they're chocolate, I promise.
They're chocolate. Delicious.
I'm trying to explain this to him. And as I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, this is the most ridiculous holiday we've ever invented.
Well, it's like a fertility thing. It goes back to the ancient religions.
But it's absolutely insane. When I'm trying to explain it out loud, I'm like, this is actually really ridiculous.
It is
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's very. So it is absolutely ridiculous. Right? It's completely bananas. And I remember when I wasn't even that old when I figured out the Easter Bunny wasn't a thing. I was like, the Easter Bunny clearly is not a thing.
Bunny's not a thing? Holy crap. I suppose next you're going to tell me Santa's not real.
No.
Santa's real.
When I told my oldest daughter, this 27, she asked me one by one, well, what about the Tooth Fairy? What about the Easter Bunny? And the last one she said was, what about God?
Whoa, that's heavy.
Yeah, it was. It was for
and
bad.
You got to go. Well, that's that one's over my head.
Yeah, no. That's no, above you know my he's pay real, grade. But yeah. Mom, I can't see him. Okay.
That one's above my pay grade.
Yeah, totally. Trying to have a conversation about faith with a 7-year-old, you get confusing.
You should try having a faith conversation with me. That's confusing.
So, yeah. All right. So, it's been wonderful meeting you. I think what we should do before we get out of here is Hector is going to explain to everyone what's going on with the festival.
I am. What is going on with the festival?
So it's March 30th.
The festival is March 30th. 20 bands, $10, or you can do $25 prior to and get a t-shirt ticket combo, and that'll save you basically $10, because otherwise it'll be $10 at the door plus $25 for a shirt if you want to do that. And just as a side note, speaking of shirts, I have some shirts left over from first festival and second festival, so we'll probably bring those along with us.
I've got some of them
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right? So we'll blow those out for like, you know, I don't know, 10 bucks or something.
We'll have some retro shirts,
yeah. So you can go to 561musicfest.com and get your tickets, 20 bands, $10, and you're going to see Blab Scam, Young Fiction, Killbillies, 33 Lions, Little Thing to Do, or Suicide Bombers, At the Starlight, Exigen Band, Mad Mellow, Bear Maze, Killed by Florida, Butch and the Fat Dubes, Bitter Blue Jays, The Zoo Peculiar,
I got it this time.
Mount Sinai, Andy Styron, The Smoke Boss Militia, Billy Doom is Dead, Brayton, and Ambush.
And you got Smoke Boss Militia as well.
I did.
You did in both.
I did.
I'm impressed.
I've been getting Andy Styron correct lately. I used to say Stryon for some reason.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
You've done it. You're going to say
it. Now I'm going to say it again. And of course, we got to thank all the sponsors for the festival: Oasis Root and Kava Bar, Live Music Community, Galliano Family Salon, Rain Cat Recording Studios, The Shirt Series, Backsavers Chiropractic, Law Offices of Steinger, Green & Finer, Matthews Brewing, and Pure Honey. All of them have all stepped into the plate. And they've either given us some in-kind stuff or monetary sponsorship, or in Matthews' case, you know, giving us the location and stuff. So thank you to all of you guys.
Absolutely.
We can't do it without you guys. So.
And guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you all so much.
Yes, thank you.
We enjoyed it.
Sure. It was beautiful music, and you're very thoughtful, lovely people, and I wish you all the best with your music.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You too.
Folk, yeah.